The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hello and welcome to the Yellow Block on the TalkSport Fan Network. Out of the League Cup, but unbeaten in 6 in the league and back into the playoffs. Joining me to discuss the last couple of weeks again is Mr. Jared Farmer.
Sorry, my mood button got stuck. Good evening, Timothy.
He's having a few issues pressing the space bar there, despite it being the big long key and the bottom of the keyboard.
Listen, last time you told me what button to press, it locked me off for like 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. You were having sound issues, weren't you? I was like, just press Alt and F4 and it will fix it. And he disappeared, never came back. I've also got who I'm going to assume is more computer literate, Mr. Sam Edwards.
Hello. Yeah, you say that, but I've just realised for the first time that I can make us all full screen on my laptop. So
this is very true. You were very excited about the fact that you discovered that. So yeah, it was an unplanned segue between technology there, actually. So last week's episode was, what time does Sam Edwards wake up? How computer literate is Sam Edwards could be potentially this title. I don't know.
I guess that's all fine as long as we don't start to get a bit more personal and say, what's Sam Edwards' national insurance number? And start to give away key information. That would be good.
We just need the 3 numbers off the back of your card, Sam.
Okay, Tim. Yeah, no.
Yeah. Oh, actually, Sam, it's just occurred to me, one thing I do need to talk to you about. I know I shared this with you privately the other day, but Rugby Services on the M6 has been named the best motorway services in the UK for the second year running.
Well, I think you know my opinions on this, Tim. And as long as it's not Bridgewater, then I think we're fine.
I mean, rugby is a sensational services. And actually, Jared, I think you were the one that turned me on to Rugby Services, because you shared a picture. This is before I lived this way. You shared a picture of the pun above the door. And I thought, that's hilarious. I need to visit the services. And therefore, my love affair with the M6 at that point started. Do you remember that?
Glad I inspired you, Tim.
You inspire me in many, many ways, Jared. If it wasn't for you, I would never have reached the lofty heights of host of the season, because basically what I did is I modelled myself on you and decided to do everything completely opposite. And evidently so far it's come to fruition. So that's good.
Briefly,
just for the 1 year. I reckon it's Mr. Edwards' title this year, but it's only October.
If he's naming every podcast after the man.
Was that a bit of jealousy there from Jerry? It sounded like it, didn't it? His eyes went green for a little bit there. Obviously, we did get the message of Lady Caffey's passing prior to the Lincoln game at the weekend. And of course, as a pod, all of us here extend our thoughts and condolences to Darren and the entire Ferguson family. Let's talk football then, shall we? Let's start with the weekend just gone. The mighty Posh 2, Lincoln 0. This was, I suppose, as far as we can get this season, an attacking... What's the word I'm looking for here? an attacking barnstorm. What, Sam, help me find some words. It was a good attacking performance, right?
I'm just watching your vote share for host of the year just plummet. So me and Jared,
we played well and attacking good we did
Yoda, yeah, we did. Yeah, good to pull it out in the second half, and I think just one of those ones you can put down to a good victory and a couple of good victories at home now as well. So nice to see that solid performance with the consecutive clean sheets at home. And yeah, good. We've had a bit of a run of it now, haven't we, with people getting on the score sheet who haven't previously before. So obviously Ronnie Edwards got his first goal recently. Collins got his first, obviously in a much shorter time frame. Adjaboy's got a couple in the league now. And, you know, great to see Joel Randall get on the score sheet as well. The real sort of icing on the cake from Posh. I mean, I know we've talked, haven't we, a bit tongue-in-cheek at times about how he's been bigged up as the poster boy and trying to promote the shirt sales and really put him front and centre. But it's good to see him chipping in with assists and now with a goal in the league. So, you know, hope that not just the victory, but the boost it gives to him is sort of worth a bit more on top of that as well.
Chipping in with the assist. I see what you've done there. You've let me die on that hill and you've come out with these incredible adjectives early on. I like it. Jared, one thing that I did think about with you after the game at the weekend was the fact that obviously Adjaboy scored. Great goal. Brilliant for the lad. But the Posh social media have basically ran with Adji Boom as the nickname going forward. I know you'll be a huge fan of the fact that they've made this cheesy, corny take on his name with that goal.
You make me sound like the most miserable man in the world. Probably am, to be fair. Don't expect any, like,
what's the word? Big words.
Don't expect any good vocabulary from myself. It's not there. It doesn't exist. You know, it was a good game. I think first half we were a little bit sloppy. I don't think we could string many passes together. But yeah, Adjaboy, what a finish that was. That was a seriously, seriously good goal.
And good for, like Sam said, good for Randall to get himself on the books as well.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, he's not been starting recently, has he? So it was good to see him come on. His confidence isn't going, clearly. And yeah, that should do him the world of good going forward.
Yeah, I know we need to talk about the Chester game in between, but just focusing on those two home games, I feel like there was a lot of resonance between the two games, so the Brovers game and the Lincoln City game, whereby we were good going forward and it kind of felt like we were good rather than the opposition were poor, certainly more so with the Lincoln City game. And I think it ended up being like two shots on target from the opposition across both of those games. I'm pretty sure we didn't let Lincoln have a single shot on target and Rovers only had two. And we always looked in control, I think, of both games, really. And that's a change in the right direction, isn't it? I know we need to talk Carlisle, but just focusing on those two, could we really ask for much more out of them two? It's two clean sheets, two good attacking performances. Feels like it's starting to click up front a little bit now.
Yeah, I think when we were speaking after the Bolton game, weren't we, before this run of three, we were saying what would be a good return. And I think, you know, if you're thinking about top two, it needs to be nine from that run of fixtures.
I would just like to add, I did say would happen. And were it not for a fluky last minute kick at Carlisle, would have played out. Just saying.
Yeah, but it didn't happen. So you're not right.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. I can see Jared shaking his head as well. That was an outrageous attempt, Tim. And we were saying seven would be, you know, probably, you know, where we would expect, but possibly how Posh are, four maybe. So I think fair credit to come out with the seven. I think that's a really good, healthy return. Yes, obviously could have been better with the late goal at Carlisle, but then we've had our fair share of deflected goals help us, haven't we? The Collins one against Bristol Rovers and obviously the Clark Harris free kick against Mansfield. So, you know, that's the luck sometimes, and that's why it's always worth shooting if there's not much else on, because it can deflect and go in anywhere. But yeah, two solid home performances and that six game unbeaten run in the league, as you said, Tim, there's a little bit of momentum gathering here, and this is normally a time of the season that we see Posh start to slip and fall off, so it's quite refreshing to see us pick up a bit of form through October.
Do you think Fergie's been a bit of a virtue? Oh, fuck off. It's not happening. Do you think Fergie's improved over these last couple of years? Fuck's sake. Bollocks. I was trying to get a big word in, and it's... Sam, Fergie's done well, right?
Can we keep all that in?
Well, you know Danny will keep it in, so yeah, I was trying to say, but I can't even say it now. Do you know what? Jared, you're hosting. It's over to you, Farmer.
This is because you bullied me for far too long, and this is what karma is. It's coming back round. Go on, Tim, have a drink, buddy. You have a little...
I can't even blame it being a long day.
You try again.
Fergie's played... No, fuck off.
You're too busy focusing on getting your mansion as your background picture.
Yeah. Go and play the piano for us.
That's what it is. It's the background. It's the background. That's what I'm blaming.
It's thrown you. That and all your weird AI photos that you keep sending through to us.
Yeah. Aren't they scary, though? Like, genuinely, because all I did was give AI 4 pictures of me, and from that, it produced, like, 60 photos. And most of them, you would look at me and go, that's Tim. I find that really odd, don't you think? Because it's like, you could use that for really nefarious reasons.
In completely unrelated news, you're being frauded now on the other side of the world by someone who's got access to your image that you uploaded to the internet. And
Probably, because the app is registered to the Korean Republic as well, genuinely. So, but I'm okay with that. I don't mind. If
nobody's using your images, Tim.
How do you know? There might be some, like, you know, grey-haired old person dating website that would think me as a catch. You never know. I don't know. Anyway, back to the point.
What was the original question?
Fergie's done well, hasn't he?
He has, yes.
Oh, brilliant. No, I think
done. End of question. Finally, yeah. I think he deserves an awful lot of credit. You know, it's weird because on one hand I'm thinking I shouldn't be that happy because of the late goal at Carlisle, albeit a deflection, as we've said, and obviously the game against Mansfield and how we threw that away. And you know, we will not for a long time get such a good chance of potentially being in the quarterfinals with that draw. Like, I know you can't be disrespectful to Port Vale, but I mean, come on, when are you ever going to get Swindon, Portsmouth, Mansfield and Port Vale as a potential run to the last eight of an English Cup competition? I mean, we absolutely threw that away and I'm still so angry about that. But then we're 6 games unbeaten and a lot of the predictions at the start of the season, and yes, there's a long way to go, and I know, were that we would really struggle. And I think the most optimistic of the predictions was sort of 8th. And here we are in 4th, and we've played some of those big teams at the top as well, like Bolton, Portsmouth too. And, you know, I think that is reason then to be optimistic and happy. And then you think about the number of points we've thrown away when we've taken the lead as well. So I don't really know how to feel, but I do certainly feel that I think Fergie's doing a really, really good job considering everyone's thoughts and predictions at the start of the season.
Yeah, I'm on the EFL debate this week, and as part of their prep, they've asked me to kind of prepare how I feel about this season. I might just pretty much just quote you directly there, Sam. Obviously, I'll pass it off as my own work.
Yeah, use AI and you'll be fine.
I mean, but you've summed it up. It's a weird feeling, isn't it? Because it's such a mixture of emotions this season, because you're absolutely right. Our expectations were low, so we should be absolutely on cloud 9, but I'm really struggling to get overexcited about everything that's happening. It's really strange. We're on a great run. We've looked good for the last 2 home games, but completely agree with you about the League Cup. I thought that was the whole Christy Pym narrative in there as well was obviously frustrating, but the point you make is the key one, which is you'd like to think we could have got past Port Vale, and then you're in the last 8 would have been 8 big teams, because the rest of the draw is all big teams pretty much at this point now. So, you know, you're looking at a real opportunity there. I know you don't know that when you beat Mansfield, but I don't know. I just, we've blown out. And it's things like that that just seem to be putting a bit of a dampener on what should be we should be flying high at the minute based on pre-season.
And I can only imagine how some people in Posh were thinking when we threw that away, both with that late penalty and then in the penalty shootout, having got back into it. Because that potential run, if you do go on and get to the quarterfinals, I mean, that's worth a lot of money to the club, and we know they need it. So, yeah, I can imagine there's quite a few people who are still stewing over that one.
We did hear some rather harsh words from Fergie after that one. He's not actually been that angry since he last spoke to you, Sam, to be fair. So it was...
Was it just fact?
He went back on it.
It was strong, but it's what we were all thinking. We should have gone back on it.
It is a weird one, isn't it? Because I messaged a friend of mine the following day who's not a... In fact, no, he messaged me. He's not a Posh fan. And he messaged me saying, oh, I see your manager's been throwing his toys out the pram. But then when you read it, it's like, well, you can't really disagree with anything he said, really, can you? But is it, I think it was Top Knot in our group chat that said, is it professional and right for a manager to out his players like that? That's a weird one, isn't it?
The owner does it, doesn't he?
Yeah, I suppose that's true, but then it's his train set.
We moan at managers, I certainly do, when they come out, when you say if you played absolutely horrendously, and they come out, oh, there was good patterns of play. There wasn't. It was shit. We don't like when managers do that. So why not be honest? We did choke. We bottled it. That's what happened. Move on.
Yeah, and I mean, it did ultimately get a response because both the Bristol Rovers game and the Lincoln game were, 1-0 up until relatively late in the game. And actually, in both cases, we then went on to find that second goal and secured a game. So that's maybe an improvement because perhaps maybe a month ago we would have gone on to either draw or lose those games maybe. So maybe, did it have an impact? I don't know. I mean, is being a bottle job something you can... I don't feel like that's something you can practice or train for or change, or you've either got that mentality where you can't see out games or you do have that mentality. I don't know. Is it that simple? Is it the dressing room? I don't know.
It's a difficult one. I mean... Some of the squad have left. We were calling some of them bottle jobs last year. Obviously, some of them have gone. I think whether it's a mentality thing, I'm not sure, but it can happen to all teams, can't it? It's not. I don't think it's not just Posh. A lot of teams choke. I mean, us maybe more than others. I don't want to think about last season, but yeah, it was a bit of a rinse and repeat of that, weren't it? And it must come down to a mentality, a weakness in there, I suppose.
Yeah, no, I agree. And just, I suppose, wrapping up with that Lincoln game as well, I think what we did see a little bit more tactically, perhaps, was a change in terms of everything wasn't down the left. It was a little bit more kind of split. I know that's in no way related to being bottle jobs or what Fergie said after the Mansfield game, but it does feel like something's changed over the last couple of weeks, whether that be a mentality shift from the players or tactically from Fergie. I don't know. Things just feel like they're clicking just a little bit more, maybe. Oh, I'm clutching at straws maybe there with what I'm looking for. I don't know.
Maybe that's just passion and, fire in the belly that we want to see from Darren. As Jared said, I'd be extremely concerned if he came out after that and battered it away. I think he summed up how the fans were thinking, how they're feeling. Maybe he's used that in the past couple of games to drive on, and we have seen a good reaction from Posh as a result of it, so that's a positive sign that they that they've taken that and it's a funny industry, isn't it? No one likes to be berated in the public eye for doing their job. Tim, after a rubber shift, you wouldn't come out and just absolutely criticize the rest of your team. I mean, you don't obviously really have a platform to do it because someone's not shoving a microphone underneath your mouth at the end of a tough shift. So I'm the same as Jared. I think it's refreshing to see that non-monotonous, vanilla, bland post-match interview. And sure, you might agree or disagree and think he went a bit too far. But it was such, to get back into the lead and then throw it away like that, and then in the penalty shootout. I mean, I know you don't have extra time, so you've not got a chance to win it there. And penalty shootout is a lottery, but it's just, I mean, you look at the penalties and you think, Clark Harris, he was just a bit in the way, wasn't he? It was a bit of a bumble, just bundled him over. So it's not like he's dived in or we've not cleared the ball, which, going back to your question about the psychology, I think, yes, there is a massive psychological part to it. And if you have the money, you can pay for a psychology coach. I know people do. And you can train that desire and that will to win. But then a lot of it is, inside you, isn't it? It's what separates the, for example, great tennis players from the average tennis players, that just innate desire to win. But then there are practical elements with game management, where you place the ball, you know, what you do with it around the edge of your own box, not diving in, those kind of things. But I don't really think any of that was necessarily in that Mansfield game. It was unfortunate with that moment, but still so frustrating.
Do you think there was an element of Christy Pym getting in his head, and that's why the frustration came out after the game?
But, quite possibly. I mean, that I remember doing the interview with Darren. The game, I want to say Derby, but I'm not sure if it is Derby. I can't remember what the game was now after it all happened. And he was saying he'll never play for the club again. You know, you could see that in his eyes, the almost, you know, maybe not quite hatred, maybe that's a bit strong, but the real passion in what he was saying. And I know there were sort of unsavoury scenes as well at the time. And then he posted on Instagram, didn't he, Christy Pym, when Posh bottled it against Sheffield Wednesday. So there's a lot of venom there in that relationship. Yeah. You just knew that he was going to be the one to have the last laugh against Mansfield.
Yeah. I just wondered if maybe that was why he was so pissed. I mean, I'm sure there's the whole fact about the fact, you know, there was a route to the quarters, but obviously we didn't know it was going to be Port Vale in the next round at that point. I don't know. I just wonder if that's a different goalkeeper, whether we get a different interview from Pym after that, from Fergie, sorry, after that game. I understand they were going to interview Pym, but they couldn't find a microphone small enough. And every time they gave it to him, he dropped it. But it was a frustrating evening. Interestingly, Joey Barton had some quite choice words for his players after the game against Posh at London Road. He wasn't particularly happy with the way that his team lacked any kind of fight or composure against Posh. With that Bristol Rovers game, do you... See, this was weird because it kind of felt like Rovers never really turned up. They had a couple of little moments, but they never... I was really just... Normally, Joey Barton's teams are really well-organised and difficult to break down and compact, and there was none of that. It was... I don't know, was it... Were Posh just too good for him? It didn't really feel like that sort of game.
Yeah, did you hear his interview afterwards? Ludicrous. He was saying, you know, they were by far the better team. I don't think they offered much at all. We didn't play that well either, to be fair. But again, against a Joey Barton team, you don't need to come out of second gear, do you?
Can I just pick you up on something, Tim? And I want to get Jared's thought on this. Jared, what are your thoughts on Tim calling them Brovers all the time? What's this about? Because I don't like it, but I don't know if I'm wrong.
I'm massively uncomfortable with it as well.
Does it? Is it like the word moist? Is it like Brovers is just, it make you tingle, does it?
You didn't say Cheltenham, you said you narrowed that down as well.
Carlisle,
no, you dick. You said something.
I think you said Chester instead of Carlisle.
It's all up that way, isn't it? It's all northwest and stuff.
That was his background getting.
I like that just again. Because you've been absolutely ruining me. You're just falling to bits, and I'm enjoying every.
Yeah, it's a disaster. I might just like get Danny to do what he did with that Charlton pod a couple of years ago where he just deletes it before he publishes it. Obviously, we're over that now.
That was Danny. Good luck. Got your work cut out. Yeah, not a fan. Not a fan of this Brovers business, Tim. I don't know where this has come from, but if we could politely ask that it stops, me and Jared would be...
It's not big and it's not cool. Well, I'm just taking a leaf out of Topknot's book because you know how he likes to shorten everything. I'm basically just...
You can't take anything out of it. He's got a man bum. Don't follow in his footsteps.
No, you're right, Jared. I'm better than this.
Tim. Accountability. Don't pass blame onto others.
No, you're right, Sam. That's very wrong of me because, you know, I love Dan. You know I do. We are very, very similar in terms of our outlook on football. So you're right. I don't need to... I need to earn his respect in other ways. So it was Peterborough United 2, Bristol Rovers 0. And actually, it was... I agree with you, Jared. I think this was a game where we never really seemed to get out of second gear, but maybe it was just a case of perhaps we didn't because, you know, Rovers didn't need us to. So it was, it's another 3 points on the tally. because I need to know what other people think now. Let us know on social media. Is it Bristol Rovers? Or I think Rovers is perfectly acceptable. I see no issue with that at all.
Is it City as well?
No, see that they're Bristol, right? They can take the Bristol clown. Oh, fucking hell, what is happening? They can take the Bristol crown. And that's why we've got Brovers. Otherwise, you have to specify which Bristol you're on about each time.
Well, Bristol's sitting nine in our league, so.
Well, no, but you still talk about them, don't you? So Bristol is Bristol City and Brovers is Bristol Rovers.
I've never even heard it apart from you.
Well, I mean, it's on the script, so I'm going with it. Whether it's my doing or not, is Brovers is how it's going to be from here. And I'm sorry, but I'm putting my foot down. As over to the season, I'm afforded certain moments of authority, and this is one of them. It is Brovers. It's an acceptable, socially acceptable term for Bristol Rovers, I believe.
Get a poll out, Danny.
Can't get a poll out on social media. Bristol Rovers or Brovers. No, because there's nothing wrong with that. It's not, I think words like moist and stuff, or you know, stuff like that, I can get why they get to people, but there's nothing wrong with Brovers. So shushy buttonhole, it's staying as it is.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Carlisle, not Chester, one, Posh one, was wedged in between all of that. And you know, this is really frustrating, Sam, because you're talking about the frustrating results we've had. This is one of them, because we were the better team, and I'm not doing a Joey Barton. We were the better team. We attacked really well. We defended really, really well. We were just really unlucky with this, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those goals in the 96th minute where you can not get so annoyed about, because it is a bit of a hit and hope from them, and there's not really much we could have done about it. You know, it's not like we've let them get into a favorable position. We've cleared the first ball into the box as well, so they've just obviously done what you sometimes do late on in the game. You hit it and you hope, and their hope turned into a goal. So yeah, hard to have, you know, other than you could say, oh well, that's why you want to go, you know, two in front. But I think in the context of those three games since we last recorded, yes, it's a disappointing 2 points drop because of where we were, but it's a good, you know, it's a good solid 7 points from those three games. So yeah, hard to occupy too much of my sort of anger or energy really in that context.
Yeah, no, I agree. We won't talk too much about Mansfield because it's a sore subject, and I feel like we've covered it in terms of how frustrating that was. In terms of the table, we're actually fifth. However, we couldn't be any more close to Steve Evans' Stevenage, so we have played the exact same number of games, won the same, drawn the same, lost the same. Our goal difference is the same. We've scored the same, conceded the game, same, of the same amount of points. However, we are in better form. So currently, the top six of League One looks like. So Portsmouth and Oxford are both flying and beaten in the last million games. They both sit first and second, respectively. And then Barnsley, Stevenage, Posh and Bolton make up the playoffs. Interestingly, though, we talk about Stevenage. Big rumours that Steve Evans is about to be offered the Sheffield Wednesday job. There's also links with the Gillingham job. I'm not entirely sure why he would drop back down to Gillingham, but in any case, there we are. So Big Steve might be off again potentially soon, but like we were saying earlier, it feels like a bit of imposter syndrome, the fact that we're kind of talking about where we are in the playoffs, considering, like you said, Sam, we kind of, the best we hoped for was like 8th or 9th, really.
Yeah, I mean, we did also say, didn't we, that there's a couple of opportunities to be grabbed this season. There's no one who's really standing out at us in terms of an overwhelming team to go on and do well. You know, Wigan with their points deduction, obviously Derby and Bolton were the two that we were sort of talking about. And Derby haven't been as great. Wigan had a strong start, but are still languishing down because of their points deduction. You're always going to look at Reading, but again, they're so weak off the field at the moment, and that's hitting them. So, you know, the team sort of coming down, there was that real opportunity. And, you know, Oxford have obviously done phenomenally well. And it's just been a bit weird, hasn't it? You know, Barnsley going and winning 7-0 first game of the season against Port Vale, then struggling, and Port Vale were top for a brief period. So I think that probably goes to show that you know, what, we're 11, 12 games in, and, you know, that there is that opportunity there, even with sort of a weaker squad for any of the teams. And it is... Yeah, I was just having a look, and, you know, we've taken the lead in 10. Well, scored the first goal in the game of 10 of the 12 games. No one else has done that, as many as that. We're top in that regard. But then our conversion on that, you know, isn't great. I mean, you obviously, the more you do it, the more you're going to not win, because, you know, you're more likely to just win one if you score first than all 10. But Oxford and Portsmouth have done it in all the games where they've scored first. And, you know, we've gone on and drawn three and lost two. So some big points dropped there. So it could be even better. But then, hey, that's why people don't have perfect seasons, because there's always things that don't work out so well. But yeah, it's probably playing to that narrative that there are a couple of gaps there here, for teams like Posh to take come the end of the season.
Yeah, and I don't want to sound like Pep Guardiola, but the league isn't, you know, won or lost in October. I say it with a slightly more normal accent. Well, not normal, that's not fair, but a slightly more British accent than Guardiola does. He would say it a lot more sexy and suave than I would. Interesting, though, there's only two wins separating third, where we find Barnsley, and 11th, where we find Exeter. 6 points between those two, so it is tight at the top. Enough of the season has been played, though, Jared, that we can start looking at this now. I mean, I feel like we can go on a run. We're on an enforced 2-week break now, because the Wigan game has been called off because of international call-ups. And it's frustrating in many ways, because Wigan are 23rd. They've lost four of their last five. They've lost four on the bounce. I feel like we would have gone there and got a result. And then in 2 weeks' time, we play Wickham, at home, who are in mixed form just outside the playoffs. So you kind of feel like we could have maybe scoured another 6 points there. And it feels like we could go on a run. The remainder of October is Port Vale away and Blackpool away. So there's opportunities here, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's been a better start than I thought. I think my prediction was, you know, bottom half, mid-table, bottom half. But we're doing well. But again, without wanting to put a negative spin on it, I think the wheels are going to come off slightly in January, because, again, we know that JCH is going to be sold. Edwards is going to go, so they're two.
Not our Edwards. Sam, as far as I'm aware, you're not
going to. No, I hope not. Although it might give me a better chance of winning the award. But yeah, for me, it's we are going to lose them two. And that's why I still don't understand. And no, I think I got a bit of shit for saying it, but I don't understand why we're playing maybe that Mother Windersill, whatever his name is, when he comes back in, or when he's fit. He needs to be starting, doesn't he?
And Malik Windersill.
Yes, yeah. That's it. But I just feel like we're getting this kind of team going, and the fluidity up. Got it right this time.
Nice.
Can you remember I did that on the Sky podcast, and they called it Fluty?
Yes, you got your Fluty up on Sky. Yeah, I remember that.
You'd be the first to watch. So, I just feel like I'm getting slightly excited about it, but then in January, it's all going to get tits up, so we'll see.
I was thinking about this in the shower earlier, because I knew that you were going to make this point. So I was thinking about you whilst I was washing my hair. And I actually, initially, I agreed with you. I didn't think JCH should be anywhere near the starting lineup. But do you not think that actually this could be a grace period and a blessing? Because what it's given is a couple of months for those other players like Mothersill to get used to the way that Fergie wants to play, to get used to the players around them before you're then expecting them to do it on a match day.
Yeah, I understand that slightly. Obviously, you know, that it'll build a relationship with the players, obviously, on the training ground. That's different to playing, you know, from the crowds, isn't it? So I'm not saying he should be in the stands. Don't get me wrong, but have him on the bench. But for our attacking play, still seems to, you know, be built around him. And Mothers, what's his name? Can we? What's his name? Just so I can stop saying it. What's his name?
Mothershill.
What's his first name?
Malik.
Malik. And he's, well, he looks to be, from the clips I've seen, a completely different type of player to JCH. So I just don't see the sense in building around JCH when it comes to our attacking play, him leaving in January, and then we're basically starting again, aren't we?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, maybe it would be nice to see Malik get... I know he's trying to get back up to fitness, but maybe he'll get a few starts between now and January, and they'll start that transition period. One thing I did want to speak to you guys about with JCH was Brovers, or Bristol Rovers, delete as applicable, because he didn't turn up in that game. And I'm not for one second accusing him of being unprofessional, but he was wandering in that game, wasn't he? I mean, he was really poor against Brovers.
He does that a lot. I think that you can watch him for games and he does very little. He's blessed in the finishing department, isn't he? If it does come to him at the right time, he will put it away. But if the service isn't there, he's not a player who's going to make a chance, is he? You know how like Mikhail Smith used to do when he'd make players make mistakes. He's not one of them. So unless that service is bang on, he's not really one who's going to make a run as such. He's got to be there for him on a play. Don't get me wrong, if it is, he'll put it away. But I think, he might be looking a little bit too far into that. There's a few games this season he's done the exact same.
Yeah, fair enough. It does bring us to the end of September, which means it is time for us to nominate our Ivan Tony Award for September. So get your bets in for this one. Who are we going for as our Tony Award winner for September, Mr. Sam Edwards?
I am really not sure.
Good. You could go his hand in the air. Do you need a wee, Jared, or have you got a...
No, I was just going to chip in with Archie Collins.
Nice. Okay, Sam.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, you know, maybe Ajiboy is a good shout, but then obviously we're talking about September and he scored one of the goals in October. I was thinking Edwards because we had a couple of clean sheets, obviously one against Cheltenham and he scored his first goal. But again, forgetting that the Carlisle game was in October. I've not got a clue who I'm going to go for, to be honest. So this is really captivating content. I'm going to let's go for. Can I say Collins as well, or is that just bad form?
It's not bad form. Maybe predictable at best. That you'd agree with Jared. There's form there in terms of agreeing with Farmer. So yeah, potentially.
Who are you saying?
What are you saying? All right, bruv. I think Edwards is a good shout. I think Burrows deserves a shout because he's been getting a lot of criticism and he's been reliable enough in September. I feel like he's been the versatile player that we needed. I will, without a doubt, always stand up for Hector. I think he's been incredible this season. But yeah, it's hard to disagree with what Jared says because Collins is not necessarily the first name that springs to mind. But I don't feel like when you hear it, you can go, no, because he kind of does that dirty job that nobody really wants to do. He just sort of goes about his business. But he's been a key part, hasn't he? And we saw that actually when De Havilland came in, who I thought played really well, but instantly lost his place back to Hector again because that Hector and Collins partnership seems to be working really, really well. So I'm not opposed to it being Archie Collins. If that's who you vote, Sam, then that, you know, that makes it Collins by default.
I've just noticed him a lot more recently. He seems to be, you know, I know he's one of them players who does the stuff that no one else wants to do, but he seems to be getting involved a little bit more. So I've been, I've been quite impressed with him. But no, you make a good point with Kipriani. He's been excellent, hasn't he?
I think he's been reliable. I also think Fergie deserves a shout for September. I mean, he's had issues with the Cups game. We can't really forget that. But I feel like he's adapting to this squad a lot better. So we can give it to a manager. I don't know. But I'm happy to go with
Collins. Your host of the season, Tim. I don't know why I remember that. But anyway, so surely you can just do what you like through this season. If you want to give it to Fergie, give it to Fergie. You want to give it to Skip Man,
I mean, I can't do what I like because I'm getting picked up on calling Bristol Rovers Brovers. So
stop doing it then.
I mean, you can do what you like within reason, and that is so far out of reason.
Okay, fine. No, let's say Archie Collins. I don't think many people would disagree with that. There's a few that we've mentioned there that are notable mentions as well. But yeah, I feel like Archie Collins deserves the Ivan Tony Award for September. Congratulations, Archie. And also, just need to mention the Yellow Block Prediction League on social media that we use. First time I mentioned that this season, and that's because a certain host of the season has made it into the top 10 for the first time. As it stands, squadron leader Jetwash is far out in front with 12 points, followed by Josh Mackey, Kyle Irving in second and third, respectively, both with 9 points, and David Dillaway, Dell, and Seamus Walker on 8 points. Milan, Dan, and Emerald Posh make up the top 10 alongside, what's that say? Tim, he makes up the top 10 as well. So, yeah, first time I've made it into that. Proud of myself there. Mid-table in the Fantasy Football League, though, which is pointless conversation because neither of you two do it. So,
because we're adults.
Because you're adults. So, yeah. Are you playing the new FIFA, Jared?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. I thought so. We've got a voice message in from Emerald Posh Pay Self. I've not listened to this, but I'm guessing it will be some hypothetical situation we need to decide on. Apologies to Emerald Posh. We missed this on last week's episode. Let me just load this up. Bear with.
Hello, Yellow Block. It's Emerald Posh. Today I'm trying to work out who would get more drunk between an elephant and a hippo. So if you gave them both an unlimited amount of alcohol, which one of them is passing out first?
Who's getting more drunk between an elephant and a hippo? Now, Jared, you work nights in Spalding. Who gets more drunk out of the elephants or hippos? No, I'll just take on a whole town. I don't know.
I would say, I reckon the elephant's got a bigger tank. So I think the hippo would be on his back quicker.
The elephant can store it in its trunk as well, can't it? So it can, do you know what I mean? Whereas a rhino isn't even in this conversation. A hippo doesn't have that.
It feels like one of those questions that like are famed at high ranking universities or like high ranking jobs when they ask you just ridiculous things. I reckon the hippo is going to outlast the elephant because the hippo can just lie in, you know, just lie in its own filth and lie in its water, whereas the elephant actually has to hold its own body weight. So
Sam taking a holistic view to the elephant and the hippo drinking there. Jared, you're getting stuck in the biology of who can handle the most alcohol. Got to think about these things. But I'm with you, Jared. I think an elephant pound for pound is bigger than a hippo, surely.
I just love that we have to justify doing this podcast, like staying away from our families, you know, having a just got an image of them listening in and we're talking about hippos and elephants.
I've missed my child growing up for this. Yeah. I wouldn't change a thing.
She's not allowed in the kitchen to make a bottle of wine and doing this because it's important.
Yeah. Child starving, waiting for milk because he's not allowed in the kitchen to make a formula.
Highbrow debate.
Yeah, I do appreciate you giving up your time, lads. It's, Emerald Posh, I think hippo is what we... elephant is what we collectively decided on, but Sam Edwards is opposed to that.
Emerald Posh, on Patreon, I listened to an episode, and he had another... I know we can't really mention it, but am I dreaming that, or did he have an... Was it him or someone come in with a different kind of voice note? About it's basically like a table, but of something else. Did you listen to that, Tim?
No.
No, well, I'll let Danny put it in after then.
A table?
It was basically who's the most well-endowed Yellow Block presenter.
Oh, who won?
Sam, I think. Oh, was it Sam or Nathan?
Yeah,
Sam
no, Nathan. That wasn't Emerald Posh. That was me. That was when we first got SpeakPipe. I sent that voice clip in to Danny, for fuck's sake. Danny, can you add that to this episode, please? I remember that was me. I can't remember who I said, though.
I had a voice distorted. He didn't sound nothing like you.
I was, what was that name for the Bridgewater conversation, Sam? Something pigeon. Ginger pigeon.
Can't remember. Yeah.
Ginger pigeon. That was my ginger pigeon alter ego. Yeah.
In completely unrelated news, how are our listening figures at the moment?
Producer Danny, unfortunately, is absent from the conversation, so I don't know. I believe.
I'm sure they're shooting up.
Well, I believe the enticing title of "What time does Sam Edwards wake up in the morning?" probably got us good figures, I would say. But I don't know.
Disagree.
It's weird. I actually think they'll be low because it's hard to get excited about what's happening at the club. There's nothing happening off the pitch, is there? It's all just games that we're talking about.
Danny normally pipes up if they're slipping. You normally hear from him.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Well, Danny, when you're editing this and you get to this part of the conversation, firstly, we miss you. Secondly, thank you for all you do. Thirdly, could you let us know how our listener figures are? Thank you.
It feels like, you know, as you said earlier, I think, Tim, if we were fourth in the league at this stage of the season, we'd be, really, really happy. Does it feel like a bit of apathy because we know what's churning in the background because of all the pre-season chat, because of just how the last couple of years have gone? I don't know. Is that what you two feel like that?
So I think that's definitely affected my mindset in the posh at the minute, is because you think, hang on, just what is going to happen around the corner? So the on-field stuff is slightly less exciting, isn't it, unfortunately?
Yeah, I'm just finding it all really unexciting. And I don't know why, because we're playing relatively good football. So we've certainly played worse. We're on a decent run. We're into the playoffs in a league that, let's face it, is garbage compared to last year. So we should be absolutely buzzing. And I feel like we're about to go on a really good run. I feel like somebody is about to be on the end of an absolute pasting to us, whether that be Wickham or whoever. I feel like we're going to turn over a team 5-6-0. But it's really hard to get excited about everything at the minute. I don't know why. I'm not sure why that is.
Because I was just thinking, like, 6 games unbeaten, I'm sure that's the best we did in the whole of last season. Mm. We've already hit it now. And yet, as I said, the general sort of feeling isn't necessarily one of, it'd be stupid to be one of hysteria in October, right? Either way.
But we do normally get carried away, don't we, as a fan base? We do. We do, though, don't we? But normally now, we'd be like, that's it, we're going up. This is the best team we've ever had and all that kind of stuff.
It just feels like treading water a bit.
100%. Yeah, Danny, I'd be interested to find, if you can find a way to keep that bit of the conversation in, because I do think that that's quite interesting. It does feel like that. And it feels like that on the socials as well. It doesn't feel like it's just us. It feels like the whole fan base is just a bit flat. I don't know why. Is it because they put our expectations lower? But then you'd think that would make it more exciting when we overachieve, wouldn't you? Rather than taking the excitement out of it. I don't know. Maybe we're just trained to not trust what's happening at the club now. Potentially. I don't know. Jared looked like he had something interesting to say, but now he's...
I was about to say, normally I'm like really over the top positive, aren't I? Last few seasons, even when we was getting absolutely hammered in the Championship, I was. But yeah, just something doesn't feel right at the minute.
No, I completely agree. Just remember as well, you can also leave us a voice message to be played on the show. Just head over to speakpipe.com/theyellowblock and you can record a voice note up to 90 seconds. Time to revisit the Yellow Block's greatest 11 again. Right back, Sam, just giving you a bit of a 30-second warning there. We did this during lockdown, released loads of extra episodes to give you guys something to listen to. Since then, we've gained 3 hosts in the form of Dan, Sam and Nathan. So over the course of the season, we're going to get their thoughts and then settle on a greatest 11 once and for all. Just a reminder, this is the greatest 11 that we've seen play, because I was get picked up on that. The greatest 11 that we have witnessed play firsthand. So it can't just be the greatest 11. Going on to right back then, currently this is Mark Little. Sam, would you select anyone different or were you happy with our lockdown choice?
Initially, that's the name that stands out straight away. And I was thinking, is there anyone who even comes close, as you say, that I've seen to rivaling that? And I thought, Craig Alcock did a good shift at right, but no, I'm being disrespectful there, actually. Craig Alcock was a solid 7 out of 10 each week. Awful to interview. 10-second clips every time. Like, honestly, you had to stitch about 3 of them together to make a reasonable answer.
What, he just gave you, like, one-word answers, you mean, or...?
I've always wanted to ask you, Sam, who's, like, the most awkward interview you've done, or just, when you get footballers who are clear, and obviously this won't go in, but clearly have zero personality, and you just think, this is pointless.
Alcock was really like happy and would speak and was really engaging in terms of like his body language and his smiling, but would just give you cliche after cliche after cliche. I have to come back on that one. I'll text you when I've had a bit of thought, or we can bring it back to another one.
Right back, Sam.
Yeah, and I thought, who could come close? And I suddenly thought, what about Russell Martin? Because he had such a good career after Posh, and you think he could do a good shift. So he was coming close, but I just can't see anyone past Mark Little. I mean, for the MK penalty in the semi-final alone, even if he was appalling in all the other games he played, but for the number of games he played, for the work rate, I mean, he was just so key, wasn't he, to that amazing diamond formation that we played in those seasons, because he could just cover the whole right side of the pitch on his own, and therefore you could have quite a narrow right-sided midfielder, and Little would count for two players. So it's got to be Mark Little for me.
He was the last player of that generation, don't you think? Because if you put him in a modern right wing back position, I don't think he would be anywhere near as good. He was a right back. I get what you mean about he covered the entire flank, but his crossing wasn't great. He wasn't a right wing back, was he? He was a right back all day long. He wouldn't fit in a modern football team, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't remember him for his crossing ability, but you remember him for his energy, for his work rate, for his pace, for his just sheer desire, and I think that counts for quite a lot in a position like that.
Yeah. I remember trying to get Russell Martin into the greatest 11 because he was a fantastic footballer. And he's really good for us as well. But I think Mark Little, he had more memorable moments, didn't he? Far more.
Well, Russell Martin, and I remember this debate first time round. Russell Martin can go centre-back instead of Zakuani for me. But yeah, we'll come on to that when we do centre-backs with... Oh, I got a nod there from Sam. I wasn't expecting that, Sam. I thought you'd be... vigorously, yes, 1-0, defending Mr. Zakuani.
It's not that I don't think Zakuani should or would be in there. It was more just a Russell Martin centre back. Okay, yeah,
I'd have him on that right side centre back. I think he would. I think he'd do all right. Thanks for listening, and thanks to those who have engaged with the pod on social media. We'll be back in the week to preview the Wickham game. We've got this 2-week unscheduled break now. Wickham are home on Saturday the 21st. We will be previewing that one with Dan. Follow us on the socials or visit our website www.yellowblock.co.uk. Thank you, fellas, and up the Posh.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.